Galatians 5 is where we're at. So let's go ahead and, for myself and for you, I'm going to start in prayer. Good place to start anything all the time. Dearest Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that right here now that our minds would not be distracted, that our hearts would be ready, that your spirit would speak. Lord, let me move aside. Let me move aside my nervousness and the fear that's not coming from you. And may it truly be your Holy Spirit through the power of your word, because it's your word. It's the message, not the messenger. So, Father, I thank you for this honor it is to serve you in this way. So guide me. Speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. So, of course, this whole week we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And, of course, there is good fruit and bad fruit. Of course, you know, during lunch, there is a fruit bar. And, of course, I partook of the peaches and there was some pears. The peaches did lack some sweetness to it. You know, typically I like peach in the heavy syrup because you know it's really sweet and you can just swallow it whole. It glides right down. You know it's a good peach when you get one that slides right down. And, of course, they had some sort of fruit cocktail mix kind of thing. Couldn't really tell what that was, but it was in the fruit bar, so it must be in the fruit category. So anyway, needless to say, after doing some research, there's good fruit. We're talking about fruits of the Spirit, and there is bad fruit. Now, someone else is going to be teaching about the bad fruit. So one of the fruits that I literally and physically studied up on, just out of curiosity, was what is a bad fruit? It's a fruit from it's an Asian fruit called the durian. And it's basically, it looks like a football, but not a football. It's kind of spiky on the outside. And it has been labeled as the smelliest fruit in the world. Now, if you crack this thing open, it's got two spaces on it. And it's got like, I don't know, the best way to describe it, it's like this cheesy consistency to this thing. But when you see it and you get it in your hands, because I went to go check one out and grabbed it, but I didn't buy it because I didn't want to take the chance of the smell in my house or at church. It's cheesy, it's stinky, and it's been likened to being like old gym socks that are soaking wet that have been sitting for about a month. And they've just ripened and they smell so bad. Matter of fact, in one of these Asian cities, it is against the law to use these in their transit system because they smell so bad. Because if you crack this open, you're going to get sick and you just might throw up. So in talking about good fruit and bad fruit, someone's going to talk about that. So in getting to that, I wanted to bring you some ideas about good and bad. And I'm going to get to the part where it's good choices, bad choices. And the battle that we as believers fight each and every day, even us as pastors or youth leaders or leaders within the group, you know, we're not any higher than you. We are in our sinful state just like you are, because all have fallen short of the glory of God. So in this fleshly body that we have, in this tent that we've temporarily been given, we are constantly in battle all day, every day. So in looking at this scripture, I kept thinking about, all right, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? And he says, this is what he gave me. He says, when Reuben used this word called context, when we talk about context, it's about the scripture that we're reading. What do you read before it? What do you read after it? So you know exactly what's going on. You don't want to hear half the story. You want to hear the whole story. You want to get the whole picture. So every sentence, every scripture has a purpose and a meaning and a direction. So to give you some context or to understand where we're at, now Paul is writing this book to the Galatians, and they were under some tough times because there was a new church and they were falling victim to Judaizers. And Judaizers, for lack of a better word, are basically guys who thought they were high and mighty. They were looking for power. And their focus was on what you can do to gain glory as opposed to what Jesus did on the cross to give you the glory. Now, as these guys were falling victim to these Judaizers, or they were being enticed or led away or distracted, he says this and he calls them out. And this is not part of that, but this is set up where we're going. He says in verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So what he's saying is that as believers, we can tend to forget, get strayed away, get distracted. We can lose our focus, or we can get into the blame game. The blame game is, well, this made me do it, or that person told me to do it, or everyone else was doing it. And, well, since they were doing it, I did it too. But then you got busted. And you wonder why it happens. Now, knowing this, Paul not only talks about it, but he states it for himself that as a believer, he struggled with it as well, like you and me today. He says in Romans 7, verse 18, he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform and what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. So here's Paul saying, you know what? I've surrendered to the Lord. The Lord met me and blinded me, and I am completely surrendered to his power now. But I'm not saying that I'm high and mighty than anybody else. I'm saying that I am struggling in this flesh as well. This temporary tent that the Lord's given us, it's a constant battle. It doesn't end when we get saved. It really just begins. Because when you get saved, the Holy Spirit starts to convict you or start telling you about the things in your life that you know are not good for you and not beneficial. So here we find ourselves to the core of the message. Paul speaking to the believers, hey, you're not getting it. You're messing it up. But why are you believing these guys? Get back to the truth of the gospel message. It's what Jesus did, not what someone else tells you. And he's saying, I struggle with it too. That being said, Galatians 5, I'm going to read what Reuben read, and as well according to the scripture that I'm going to be teaching on. Galatians 5, verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So in looking at this scripture, I start looking at, okay, what are we going to focus on? Lord, where do you want me to go again? I'm going to be looking at two things. The lust of the flesh, or the sin, and the Spirit, its source, its purpose, those two things. The sin, the lust of the flesh, origin and purpose. And number two, the Spirit, the source and the purpose. Now, so I looked up the Greek meaning of lust, and the word used is epithemia, which means desire, craving, longing. Desire, again, for what is forbidden. Pretty simple. It's desiring something that is forbidden, not good. We also see here that it says that it's contrary to one another, that there's two polar opposites. Action, reaction, right? You're either in the Spirit or you're not. Even in Revelation, God, come on, Renee. Even in Revelation, it says, I don't want you lukewarm. You're either hot or cold. Basically, you're all in or you're not in at all. It's about commitment. So for the purpose of this illustration, in this life that we live, I'm going to put it into teams. The first team is the team of sin. Lust of the flesh. And the second team is going to be the Spirit. Now, the reality is in a football game, right? So you have team sin, you have team spirit. In a football game, there are, you know, four quarters. There's two halves. But in this life as a believer, there's no end to that game, that battle that we fight each and every day against that opposing team goes on constantly. And so maybe even now while you're sitting here today, you might be struggling with being tired. You might be struggling with being bored, that you're not having fun. It's too hot. Why did I come here? I'm depressed. I'm lonely. I'm tired. I want to go home. The reality is that the Spirit's trying to plead with you, say, my son, my daughter, I want to teach you something. I want to tell you something. I want you to grow in the knowledge of who I am. And you're going to listen to the sin of yourself, or you're going to listen to the power of the Holy Spirit. The other thing to think about is that this team, in the context of football, as the illustration is that this team doesn't play fair. There's no rules. He ain't playing. He's all out. He don't get tired. He doesn't give in. He's going to keep pursuing you until he can take you down, distract you, or take you out before this life on this side of heaven ends. We know who wins in the end. But until that day comes when we can be present with the Lord, the battle will continue. The game goes on. You don't get a break. There ain't no timeouts. No one's going to sub in for you. Hey, I can't take it anymore, Lord. This is too hard for me. I can't take this. I'm done. I am so tired. I got to step out. No, the enemy doesn't work that way. That team doesn't quit. They keep going. So let's look at this team sin coach. And I want you to write this down. John chapter 8, verses 44. Because this is important. John chapter 8, verses 44. Talking about sin, the coach, who's doing it, who's in charge. Verse 44 says, you are the father of the devil. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. You see here, the devil is the coach, and his team never plays fair. And he wants to take you out today, tomorrow, every day, until you die. It started in the garden, and it continues on today. Are you prepared? Are you trained up? Are you suited up for the game? Keeping that in mind, another scripture, write this down. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Knowing that the opposite team, the other guys, they want to beat you bad at all costs. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the opposing team, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's saying to be ready, constantly be on the lookout, because he's looking for every way and every day to eat you up. And I remember playing football, and I was a tackle. And I remember there was this guy, at the time I was kind of a short, fat kid. And opposing to me was maybe two grades above me. And he was probably like 6'3", weighed close to 300 pounds. And I was an offensive tackle. So I couldn't, as an offensive tackle, you gotta get your ground ready. You gotta keep your arms in tight. And if you grab this guy, you can't grab him outside of the shoulder. You can't pull him down. But for a defensive guy trying to get past me, it's fair game if you've ever played football. He can slap me in the helmet. He can knock me off my feet. And if I'm not prepared and I'm not set and I'm not ready, he's going to get past me and he's going to take me down. And I remember play after play after play just thinking, gosh, I'm never going to stop this guy. He was whooping past me like I was nothing, taking out the running back, taking out the fullback, or sacking the quarterback because I couldn't hold my ground. And finally, in the middle of the game, the coach says, Hernandez, get over here. I said, yes, coach. He says, what are you doing? He says, every time the ball is huffed, you're afraid and you stand straight up. So I'm trying to get prepared. He says, that's not prepared. You got to dig in. Because if you stand up, he will knock you back. If you stand up, you lose your balance. You're basically you're top heavy, and he's going to push you over and knock you down just that easy. He says, you need to set your feet at a wide stance. You need to stick your butt out, and you need to put your hands up and open your hands. And as soon as that ball says huff, push him off and keep your feet grounded in. Keeping that in mind that the enemy's trying to take you out. So how are you going to stay grounded? What are you doing to be prepared? Because the battle happens every day, and if you're not prepared, you're going to get knocked over. You're going to be flat on your face. The other thing, too, is the enemy, since he doesn't play by the rules, he wants to take out your knee. Let's say in a football game, right? If you blow out your knee, you're done for the game. But this team, Team Sin, they're almost like, okay, I took out one knee. I'm going to take out the other knee. Oh, that's not good enough. I'm going to take their elbows out. I'm going to break their femur. I'm going to break their leg bone. I'm going to give them a concussion. You guys understand this. If you played sports, at some point in time, something happens, you're taken out. But the enemy is not, he didn't want to take you out. He wants to, as 1 Peter 5:8 says, roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And what devour means is to eat you up in big bites until everything is gone. And so if you think about what a lion does when it's eating its prey, it's biting at you, it's ripping at your flesh. It's not a very quick death. It is painful. It is suffering, to say the least. It hurts a lot. And you just want it to be over. And that's what he wants for you as a believer. He wants you to suffer. He wants it to hurt. Because if he can get you to suffer and hurt and distract you, well, then he's winning the game already. Because he's knocked you out of your game. He's knocked you off of balance. You don't have your foundation at a place where it needs to be. The reality is in this game, if you're not ready, you can start the blame game. Reuben talked about this earlier. He says, well, the other team won because if they wouldn't have cheated, we could have won. Well, the other team won if the ref would have called the calls in our favor, we could have won. We could have won if the quarterback would have called the right plays, we could have won. Your choices are your own, believer, brothers and sisters in Christ. You can't blame anyone else but yourself of the choices that you make. They are your own. Own up to it. Write this down. James 1. This is about the choices that you make, good and bad. And before I read this scripture, one more quick illustration as you write that down. I remember a couple of years back, I was talking to a student who had a mother and father who he grew up in an alcoholic family. And at some point in time, he decided, you know what? My parents are alcoholics. I'm probably going to be an alcoholic too. And I told him, I said, you know what, young man? I said, you can be, you should be, and you can choose to be the first generation within that family to make a difference and to be different. You are not determined by where you came from. Where you're going is your choice. It's up to you. Nobody else. You can't blame anybody else. Well, they told me to go there, so I went and we got busted. Well, they said it was a good idea if we took it and everyone else is doing it, but you got busted. And then it's their fault. But you had a choice to say no. No, I'm not going to go. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't respond to my mom and dad because that's not okay. And because God loves us, He gave us the innate ability through the power of the Spirit, because He created us in His image, that we already inside know what's right and what's wrong. But we just choose to ignore that because it's all about us. We give in to our own flesh. We give in to our own sin. So there's team sin. That lust of the flesh. Giving in to our own desires, our own wants, our own needs. Now, God doesn't give us what we want all the time, because if He gave us what we wanted all the time, I don't know what I would be like as a believer if He gave me everything that I wanted. Because this is what I tell my students sometimes, just as a reminder, and I'm going to tell this to you now. If in the past 2 days, supernaturally, we could play back on this big screen right here for all to see what you thought about. We could put your thoughts on a big screen TV for everyone to see. Would you want someone to see what your thoughts were? Probably not. I know I wouldn't either. Really, reality is no. Because we know how we are. And that's the beauty of God. He knows how we are too, but He still loves us besides that. He says, I love you so much that I'm willing to give my only son, the son whom I love, to die for you so that I can know you, that there be a way for me to know you, for there be a way for me to speak to you intimately, personally. But sometimes we as believers can take advantage of it. Like, you know, it's like fire insurance. Oh, I went to a camp. I got saved when I was about 10. So I know I'm going to heaven. So everything's good. It's not the way it works. Y'all ever heard of the word sanctification? You ever heard of that word? It's to be made holy. Growing in the knowledge and the principles and the characters of who God is. And that's a question for you, believer. If you're saved here, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, are you growing in the knowledge through the scriptures of the characteristics and the principles of God and His Word? Or are you going through the paces? Are you faking it to make it? Hebrews 4:12 says this, talking about team spirit. He's given us the playbook. For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and as discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So what is that saying, right? That's basically saying that the Word of God, given through the power of the Holy Spirit, right, team spirit, the playbook is right here. It's in our hands. We have access to it. So it's like, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. My friends are giving me a hard time. I feel depressed. You need a play to get out of it? Open up your Bible. My mom has cancer, and I'm not sure if she's going to live. What am I supposed to do? Open up your playbook. Find a play that's going to work for your hurt. The answers are here. Now, here's the playbook. It's right here, right? Palm of hand. You have access to it. Question is when life gets hard, life gets really rough, and you feel like the enemy's taking you down, are you equipped Are you trained up? Are you prayed up? And I ask my kids almost every other week, how's your devotion time? And they ask me too, as accountability. And what does that mean? Devotion time. I mean, the Lord gave us life. Every breath we take is a gift from Him. And we can take advantage of it daily, all the time, hours on a day. We take for granted the family members we have, right? I know I do. But the Lord says, I've given you a life. I've given you purpose. I've given you meaning. I've given you things that you need. And I love you. And I've shown you that I loved you. And if you've received me in your heart, you've realized that I'm real. And that's the other aspect. If Jesus has come into your heart, it was real. You either did it because everyone was doing it, or I say at some point in time, you get to an age of accountability where your walk with Christ is your own. And that's it. No one else to blame. It's you. So are you spending time with the Lord every day? And how does that look? I don't know. That's between you and God, not for me to judge. Are you praying? Are you reading His word every day? Now, do I do it every day? I'd be lying if I told you I did. But I tell you for sure that I am better prepared for the day, and it never fails. If I don't read, the enemy's waiting to just eat me up. Because I can go out in that day and I'm like, man, what is going on? I lost my keys. My computer won't work. Got a flat tire. I said something wrong to my wife that was probably not very good. And it just goes on. And I just start feeling bad because of the bad choices that I've made. But when I take the time to read the word and get filled up with the Holy Spirit, the Lord empowers me to make it through the day. Says, listen, my son, I love you enough. Just hang on. Trust in me. Wait and see. Trust in me. Wait and see. So we got the playbook. Now we need the coach to break down this playbook. Right? Write this down. John 16. John 16, 5 through 15. The playbook, God's word. Now the coach is going to break it down for us using football illustration. John 16, verse 5, it says, but now I go away to him. This is Jesus talking, mind you. Before he goes away, die on the cross. It says, but now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage, team members, that I go away. For I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of the world is judged. He loses in the end. Verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, believer, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take care of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So you see, Jesus died on the cross to give us access to the Holy Spirit. He's a good God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's who you have on your team. That's all you need. If that's all you got, you can win every time. And reality knows in the very end, if you keep fighting, getting back in that game and you get back up, set your feet, no matter how many times you get knocked down, it's really how many times you're going to get up. The failure is to quit and give in. Because the enemy wants you to maybe get depressed enough to where you commit suicide and you never had a chance to really know the Lord at all. And he's like, yes, end zone dance. I won. This one I took out. Let the party begin. And as believers, it's like, okay, Lord, this is hard. Coach, I'm going to get into the playbook. Coach, teach me through the power of the Holy Spirit of what I need to do with this, where I need to go, what play do I need to make. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, I say this as a reminder to you and to myself to not give in to that team, to that sins of the flesh. And at your age, and I tell my kids, it was different back when I was younger because we played outside all the time. I mean, when we got home, we went outside, we played until Dad called us to come for dinner. For y'all, this is a technology world. So the reality is you have access to all kinds of evil in the palm of your hands if you have a cell phone. If you have a cell phone, you're pretty much accountable to yourself. Because the reality is you can take that little computer and you can go to your room, go to a closet, wherever you are. And again, the enemy is going to try to entice you like, hey, come to our side. Come on, man. It's a good time over here. We're winning. We're the winning team. This is good times on this side. But team spirit says, no, that's not good for you. You don't need to go there. You don't want that. And many times than not, when something happens, the spirit convicts me or tells me, you know what? You probably shouldn't have said that. You probably shouldn't have done that. There's no reason for that. And then you can, by the grace of God, you can ask him for forgiveness. Because that's the mercy of God. His mercies are new every morning. And what does that mean? You messed up today. You would have blown it. You can either say, you know what? I quit. I'm giving up. I'm no good. I'm not good enough. Well, if that's the case, Jesus died on the cross for no reason. But that's not the reality. Is Jesus died on the cross so that you can be forgiven all day, every day, all the time. You see, that's the beauty too. The enemy's not going to quit to take you out, but Jesus wins in the end. So why not dance to victory with the winning team, memorizing the playbook, utilizing the coach's wisdom and experience through the power of the Holy Spirit to make it through this life better prepared, better equipped, so that Holy Spirit can prepare you, train you up, and you can start bearing good fruit. Not the durian. You don't want to be that stinky fruit. Don't be that stinky fruit. You don't want no stank on you. Be the good fruit that the Lord wants you to be. Because the reality is, he already sees the potential in you. If he's called you and you're part of that fellowship, he's saying, my son, my daughter, don't go that way. Don't make that choice. You know what you shouldn't be looking at. You know what you shouldn't be saying. You know what you shouldn't be doing. There's a better way. It's my way. Trust in me. Wait and see. I love you that much. Because each and every day, the Lord has blessings in store for you. He wants to give you things, but we just mess it all up and we're not listening. So as a reminder, Scripture is clear in stating that you will have the desires or lusts of the flesh that will try to take you out every day, all day, at any time, and doesn't play by the rules. But there is a spirit that is your helper to give you the discernment, and that comes through your reading his word and praying to hear his voice and feeling the presence and the peace through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, for the beauty of your word. It's amazing how in that short verse, there is so much depth, so much wisdom, so much beauty, so much love in your scriptures. And I barely scratch the surface of your heart. And that's the immensity of who you are. So Lord, I pray for my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that they don't just take my word for it, that they would dare to take this journey on their own, to read through your scriptures and study and find out what you're saying, why you're saying it, and how that is applied to them. Because you love them. You want them to be winners in your kingdom, ambassadors of Christ, proclaiming the good news to all that will hear and even those who won't. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Bless the rest of this time here. In Jesus' name, amen.